Hi, I'm Stefan Aiskens. I'm an Azure Specialist and a Microsoft MVP. I have a particular interest for artificial intelligence. I have been involved in several AI-related real-world projects in the past 3 years. Therefore, I want to share some lessons learned and, of course, some technical bits with the community. Please follow me on Twitter, as I'll keep sharing extra bits and I'll be announcing the upcoming of new episodes. This course is made of multiple episodes, and some of them might not be recorded yet by the time you watch the current episode. The course explains some fundamental AI concepts and will slowly increase in complexity with real-world examples and concrete business scenarios that could be relevant to your enterprise. You will learn how to create and consume Azure Cognitive Services, as well as how to educate more advanced services and specialize them to fit your specific needs. No technical prerequisite is necessary, as I will try to be as exhaustive as possible in my explanations. However, the course is primarily intended to developers, but part of it is accessible to non-developers as well. Episode 1 was about analyzing what's available in the Microsoft ecosystem in terms of artificial intelligence. In Episode 2, we set up the foundations to get us started with a minimal budget, and we show the typical steps involved in creating and consuming a cognitive service. If you haven't watched those, I strongly encourage you to do so, or at least to watch episode 2, as I will not repeat what I already explained there. That being said, in this episode, we'll first see what are the challenges when dealing with natural language and building chatbots. We'll then capitalize on what we've done already by adding a Lewis layer to our bot. I will not only explain how Lewis works, but I'll also give you concrete hands-on demos out of real-world experience. NLP stands for Natural Language Processing, and this is a very hard task to perform as natural languages are incredibly complex. NLP helps extracting semantics out of a piece of text and make use of specific operations such as lemmatization, tokenization, part-of-speech tagging to identify each word and its role in the text. It also enables named entity recognition, which basically consists in extracting words of a specific type, such as persons, locations, dates, URLs, etc. NLP's practical applications include chatbots, search indexing and natural search understanding, automatic translation. We'll see a very practical example of using post tagging in a later episode. This refresh of what NLP is all about was necessary since Lewis performs NLP operations behind the scenes. Lewis is certainly one of the most interesting cognitive services as it allows you to ship applications proposing natural interactions with end users. Lewis mostly performs two key tasks. It detects the user intention. It performs name entity recognition. In other words, it extracts valuable information from a piece of text. Let's see a few concrete examples. In the sentence, "I need help with Azure," the intent could be defined as "get help" in Lewis, and Azure would be captured as an entity of type IT topic. The resulting action would look for documentation on Azure. In the sentence, "Who is the CIO of the enterprise?" the intent could be defined as "org chart lookup" in Lewis, and CIO would be captured as an entity of type job role. The resulting action would query the company organization chart to get the answer. The above sentences are called utterances in Lewis terminology. It's up to the Lewis app owner to enter test utterances in order to train the model. And guess what? This task can be done by non-technical people. I should even rephrase this and say that ideally it should be done by a business user who is the expert of the domain you're trying to cover. We'll see Lewis in action in a few minutes. Lewis has a natural binding with chatbots because in the chatbot, users express themselves using natural language, using their own words. However, when building chatbots and Lewis apps in general, it is key to define their scopes because natural language is very complex. Natural language comes with particular problems such as polysemia, neosemia, irony, humor. Here is a concrete example of polysemia. The word crane refers to a constriction machine for a constriction worker, and is a bird for an ornithologist. By limiting the scope to the constriction sector only, one can make sure that crane always refers to a machine. So a rule of thumb is the narrower scope, the better to limit such situations. In a moment, I'm going to show you how to create a Luis app. We will create an app that fulfills the following roles. Casual chat is somehow to give your chatbot a human face. The casual chat intent will typically serve the purpose of responding to inputs such as hello, how are you, what's the meaning of life, etc. This intent can be reused across chatbots. A knowledge base on IT related topics. We'll make use of Q&A Maker to cover that intent. Viewing and reporting incidents. Our chatbot should help internal employees to get help about IT in general, as well as to report incidents when they encounter problems. Finding documents. With this intent, the bot will act as a search user interface to find documents hosted in a document management system. A who's who feature that will help users to know who are their colleagues. Finding experts will help users to find peers who can help them on specific matters. In this episode, I will only show you how to build the Luis app with the right intents and entities and how to train and test it. For the action part, I invite you to stay tuned, as I will be covering that in the next episodes. On top of the above scenario, our bot will also be able to analyze pictures, root and tag documents, etc. But this will be done through direct sending of a file, and it does not require any Luis intent. To make the demo concise and to avoid repeating what I've already explained, I will not show how to create the Luis cognitive service, as it is exactly the same process as explained in episode 2 when we created the Text Analytics API. However, here is a recap of the actions you must undertake. Go to the portal, create a new cognitive service of type Language Understanding Intelligence Service, grab a consumption key, as we will bind it to the Luis app we'll create in a minute. Ultimately, at this stage of the course, your resource group should look like this. Here comes the demo. I will show you how to create the Luis app and how to bind the consumption key you got from the creation of the Luis service to your Luis app. I will also show you how to create the intents and entities, as well as how to train and publish the app. To create the Luis app, I'm navigating to luis.ai and I sign in using my Microsoft account. Then I go to My Apps, New App. I give my app a name. I choose the English culture, but of course you could change it to your own language. For the time being, I'm taking the default key. We'll see later how to associate our consumption key retrieved from the creation of the Luis Cognitive Service to our Luis app. The app is now created. Let's analyze the buttons we have at our disposal. The first button is here to rename the app if necessary. The second button allows us to download all the iterances that were sent to the app by end users. This can also be done programmatically, and may be very interesting in case you want to automate testing with different versions of your Luis app and see its progress over time. The third button allows us to export the Luis app. In one of my real-world projects, we programmatically export the Luis app to a SharePoint document library with versioning enabled whenever we change the Luis app. This is a good way to recover from any mistake or to compare the progress of Luis with all the iterations over time by sending queries to the different versions of the app. Doing this, you can objectify the progression of Luis or potentially identify regressions caused by your changes. At last, the fourth button enables us to delete the app. Let's now analyze the left menu. The dashboard gives us some statistics about our app. The intents allow us to access existing intents as well as to create new ones. Same goes for entities. Pre-built domains contain a series of ready-to-use entities and intents designed by Microsoft for generic purposes. Features help us fine-tuning the app. We'll use feature later in our scenario. Train, test and publish allows us to make our app ready to use for the outside world. The none intent is the system intent that is returned by Luis whenever a given utterance is not matching any other intent. Okay, let's create our first intent, the casual chat one. Remember, we want to give a human face to our bot, so we want it to be able to answer day-to-day questions such as how are you, what's up, etc. We'll also add some existential questions, which are typically asked by end users. A good source for this is the top 20 deepest existential questions. So, to create the intent, I simply click on the Add New Intent button and I specify a name. Now I'm invited to enter a few characteristic utterances covered by this intent. The goal here is not to provide an exhaustive list of possible values, else Luis wouldn't be of much interest, but you should try to think of the most important phrases. For sake of simplicity, I will only enter a few utterances. Our first intent is now created. Back to our scenario, we also need to provide our users with an IT knowledge base, an easy way to find documentation, a way to view and report their incidents, and a way to identify who is who and who can help them on IT-related topics. So our first task is to identify the key different entities we are dealing with. The who's who and who can help me with an IT-related topic functionalities deal with people, roles and IT topics, while incident viewing and reporting functionality deal with incidents. People, roles, IT topics and incidents are all entities. So to make sure Luis captures them correctly, we must define them. Whenever you're confronted to this situation, you should first have a look at the pre-built entities and pre-built domain entity to see if Microsoft delivers an out-of-the-box solution for your specific needs. For the time being, Microsoft doesn't cover persons nor software, so we'll create our own custom entity types. At the time of recording, there are four types of entity types. Simple, which you'll use whenever you want to deal with dynamic values. An example of dynamic values is people. Indeed, you cannot build an exhaustive list of employees working for a company, as this changes every day with new hires and departures. This would require you to adapt your entity all the time and would become a full-time job, so it's not manageable. Another example is with our incident reporting functionality. If a user comes and asks the status of incidents 123, incident 123 needs to be identified by Luis as an incident number. And this is of course not something you can list as part of a static list of values, because incident numbers are generated by an external system on a daily basis, hourly basis, and even maybe every minute. Composite entities, as the name indicates, represent a group of other individual entities which can be useful if you need to capture separate entity values into a single group of values. Hierarchical entities allow to have a parent-child relationship between entities. For instance, if you deal with hardware, you might have hardware as a parent and mobile devices as a child. At last, list entities allow you to define a static list of values. In our example, we will use a list entity for the job roles, as this is not something that changes on a daily basis. The advantage of list entities compared to simple entities is their greater accuracy, but the shortcoming is that it only works with static values, not dynamic ones. So for instance, we couldn't use a list entity type to deal with our incidents. Okay, I'm now going to create these entities. I'm starting with IT topic, a simple entity. Although the list of software used within a company might not vary as much as its employees, it's still likely subject to frequent changes. That's the reason why I go for dynamic entity. I now create incident number of type simple as well, for the same reason. It's now time to create our job role entity of type list. As said earlier, that kind of entities require you to provide a static list of values. I'm just gonna add a few job roles for this example. What is remarkable here is that Luis makes suggestions of other values that he thinks are similar to your entry. You can then simply click on an entry, or all at once should you find them interesting. I end up with the person entity, which is also of type simple. So now we have all our entities. So while it is obvious that the job role entity is based on a static list of values, we're gonna see how to help Luis detect the other types of entities. We can do that by training it with representative utterances as well as by creation of a list feature. So let's now switch to the features. There are two types of features, phrase list and pattern features. Phrase list features may be used to help Luis catching up some keywords. Unlike list entities, you're not guaranteed that the keyword present in phrases feature will be captured by Luis, but it certainly helps. Out of empirical observations, I noticed that giving the same name to both a phrase list feature and an entity type is maximizing the chances to get the entity values properly captured. So let's create a phrase this feature for the IT topic entity, and let's call it IT topic. I'm going to enter a few product names only for sake of simplicity. We'll see how to train Luis afterwards with these values. We are now going to create a pattern feature to help Luis identifying incident numbers. Unlike job roles and software names, incident numbers cannot be guessed in advance. Therefore, I will instruct Luis to pay a particular attention to a certain pattern. That's what pattern features are all about. They allow Luis to identify a certain pattern as important for your business. So, I'm now creating the incident number pattern. We'll then associate such patterns to our incident number entity while training Luis. Okay, it's time for a recap. We currently have two intents, the non-intent and the casual chat one. We have three entities of type simple and one list entity. We also provided Luis with six utterances so far for the casual chat intent. It's time to create the other intents that will be using the entities in order to cover our scenario. I'm going to show you the high-level principles with one intent, and I'll speed up the recording for the other intents. I start with the expertise lookup intent, and I enter one utterance. As you might have noticed, I specified the keyword OneDrive, which corresponds to an item I specified in the IT topic phrase list feature. I would have liked Luis to match OneDrive automatically to the IT topic entity type, but as I told you, phrase list features help Luis understand better, but it's not resolving keywords automatically without a bit of training first. So I'm going to manually tag OneDrive as an entity of type IT topic. I'm now entering a few iterances and I perform the same job regarding entities. Here I only entered three iterances and I'm gonna train Luis to make it analyze the patterns I provided and the manual association I made. Now back to my intent, I'm entering an iterance that includes SAP. I never entered SAP so far in the previous iterances, but SAP is well part of the IT topic phrases feature. As you can see, Luis resolves it automatically thanks to this very minimal training. Luis's capabilities to understand the patterns are quite phenomenal. Of course, the more utterances, the better, but for sake of simplicity in this demo, I won't add more utterances right now. Let's now create the who's who intent. I'm entering a few utterances with the keywords CIO and CEO, and of course, as these are part of the list entity, they are resolved automatically by Luis. Time to create the intent that will allow users to report incidents. That's by far the ones that's gonna require most effort as we need to make it understand about our incident numbers. Remember that we've used a regex feature to prioritize the incident number pattern, but this is in no way equivalent to either a list entity, either a phrase list feature. So I'm gonna enter a few generic utterances and I'll then be more precise and ask about a specific incident number for which I need to manually tag the corresponding entity. I will train Luis a few times to let him understand the relationship between the ticket status intent and the incident entity type. After a few attempts, Luis eventually resolves a new incident number automatically as an entity of type incident. Back to our who's who intent, I'm also adding an example of utterance that includes a person. Time to create the intent that allows users to report incidents. I'm only entering two utterances, but of course, for such intent, words such as broken, damaged, or other sayings such as I cannot do this or that, or something isn't working, etc., are the typical ways of reporting a problem. Here again, you could go very far by creating other types of entities. In the example, my iPad is broken, iPad could be an entity of type mobile device. But I guess you got my point and it's not necessary to go too far. Okay, let's create our last intent to let users find documentation. Here some keywords will be words such as manual, documentation, book, etc. Before we publish the app, let's recap what we have. We have 7 intents, 4 entity types, and 27 utterances. In the real world, you might rather consider a minimum of 50 utterances per intent. So we are far below, but this is of course just a demo here. That said, let's train the app before publishing it, and let's make a test from the built-in test user interface. Everything looks alright, so it's time to publish. But before, we'll associate OurKey to our Lewis app. Remember that the first step was to create a cognitive service of type Lewis, and you had to grab the consumption key. It is this subscription key that I'm going to add here. Note that you should make sure that both the cognitive service and the Lewis app target the same region, so like West Europe, West US, etc., because you cannot use a West Europe key against a West US endpoint. Note that by default the Bootstrap key can only be used for 30 days. So now you can associate your key with the app and publish it. Once published, you can easily test the published app right in the browser. In the results, you will find top scoring intent as well as the captured entities. Our minimal Lewis app can now be associated to our minimal chatbot. I have bound our Lewis app to a minimal chatbot developed in episode 2. It's rather easy to do. The first thing to do is to download and install the Lewis Nuget package. Afterwards, you must create a class that inherits from Lewis Dialog. The binding with the Lewis app is done via the Lewis model attribute. You can easily get the app identifier in secret from the publishing tab of the app. Then you simply need to create one method per intent and make them match via the Lewis intent attribute. For the time being, I'm only responding with a basic phrase. We'll see in other episodes how to implement the actual actions. Once the Lewis dialog is created, you have to call it from the message endpoint. So I have replaced the call to our sentiment analysis endpoint from episode 2 by these few lines of code in which I return an instance of our channel 9 dialog. The easiest way to see whether the binding works well is to debug the code locally. In order to do that, you must download and install the bot emulator. Note that this bot emulator only works with 64-bit platforms. Once you have the bot emulator up and running, you simply need to run your web project locally. Then copy its URL and paste it into the bot emulator and append /api/messages to the URL. In order to authenticate the bot, you have to provide the app ID and passwords to the bot emulator. If you fill out episode 2 correctly, these settings should be into your web.config. Okay, let's try it out. Now let's see how entities are captured by Lewis. With the sentence, "Who can help me with SharePoint?", the intent expertise lookup is triggered, and we can analyze in code if entities were captured by Lewis or not. Sure enough, SharePoint was correctly captured by Lewis. The sentence, "Who can help me with ITIL?", causes a resolving failure since Lewis returned the "Who is who" intent. Of course, as I told you, I didn't enter enough utterances in my app. But even when you do, you might face similar issues. However, Lewis has a great feature called Active Learning, which enables you to adjust its understanding at any time. In Lewis, when clicking on the Suggested Utterances tab, you can see how Lewis resolves phrases that are sent to the app endpoint. In our case, we see that the phrase "Who can help me with ITIL?" is well resolved to expertise lookup, with a probability of 0.09. But we saw that the bot resolved it to the "Who is who" intent. How come is that possible? Let's test in Lewis directly to figure it out. Got it. We see that this phrase is equally resolved to the "Who's who" intent with the same probability level. That's what caused Lewis Nuget package to resolve it to wrong intent. To fix it, simply tag ITIL as an entity of type ITopic, reassign this phrase explicitly to expertise lookup and restrain Lewis. Now we clearly see that after adjustments, the level of confidence is much higher and the delta between the expertise lookup and the who's who intent has changed. Okay, it's time to wrap it up. Lewis is the first layer of understanding when building chatbots. Any misunderstanding at that level will cause your chatbot to respond in a faulty way. It is easy to suit Lewis to your specific business needs. Creating intents and entities isn't that hard and does not require any technical skills. A domain expert is the ideal candidate to design and train Lewis. Active learning is key. With our example related to ITIL, we saw that adjustments are necessary, certainly in the beginning. But this is a positive, as it means that the level of understanding will improve over time. At last, bots are not chatbots. For bot-driven conversations, you don't need to include Lewis. Lewis shines when it comes to resolving user intentions and capturing entities. In the next episodes, we're gonna see how to take advantage of Q&A Maker to build our IT knowledge base. We'll see how to build intelligent search with the linguistic API and the post-tagging. We'll also see how to envision topics such as document routing thanks to topics and keyword extractions with the Text Analytics API. Last but not least, we'll see how to take advantage of both the custom switch and custom vision services, and we'll use our bot to deal with these rich media. Please follow me on Twitter and feel free to rate this video and share your comments.